This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you season two of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts. Podcasts.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, here we go. We do this podcast thing. We do it daily. It's Monday, so we'll do a podcast. What's up, Al?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. This past the Saturday, we went into New York City.
I posted
on social medias a video of you and I in suits riding the Staten Island Ferry.
Yes.
It was my first time riding the ferry. It was a great idea by you, Jerry. Both of us were going solo to the Boomer Black Tie Affair.
Yep.
Had we had ladies with us, we probably wouldn't have taken them on the ferry because women in nice dresses just doesn't fit.
I agree.
But we took the ferry from Staten Island to Manhattan, and legitimately, from the time we got off the ferry to the time we were at the place we needed to go was a couple minutes.
Yeah, max.
Nothing. It was perfect.
Yep.
It was great.
Yep.
And I got to say, were there kind of weirdos on the Staten Island ferry? Yes, there were.
There were a couple.
But very nice police presence,
yes.
I thought.
Yes,
100%. I felt safe.
Mm-hmm.
Did you as well feel safe?
Yeah.
Mainly because you were with me and I could protect us?
No, the police presence, for sure. And it was, there were a couple of questionable people, but for the most part, everybody looked like they were just going into Manhattan.
Yeah.
A nice, normal crowd was fine.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. One, the city of New York City is, they will nickel and dime you for everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Staten Island Ferry is free?
Even the parking is cheap. I paid, what, $2 an hour?
I don't understand.
I don't either. It's one thing I've never got, and I know I only thought of doing that last year because several years back I drove a friend of mine to the ferry. And I had heard of it, but I didn't know about it or where it was. So I dropped him off, and I remember him telling me it was free. And I'm like, oh, okay, but there's no parking. He goes, oh, there's a parking lot right down there. He's got a... not a lot of spots, but if you go on a weekend, you can usually get a spot. And so when I thought of it last year, I remember looking it up to make sure it was still free, to make sure the ferry wasn't going to stop running at 10 p.m. And I'm like, 24 hours a day, twice an hour, sometimes three and four times. I'm like, there's got to be a catch to this. And there's not.
No catch.
No.
Yeah, runs all night long. Very strange.
Like what? Like you could charge a dollar for that.
Yeah.
Easily. And I'm not saying $8, $12. I guess once you start charging, though, the rates go up. So it's great that it's free, but it's surprising.
It should cost as much as a subway ride.
I don't disagree with that.
Which who even knows what that costs these days?
I don't. It used to be. Last time I did a subway ride, it was $2.50. I don't know if that's what it is anymore.
Last time I did it, Jerry, it was a quarter. That's how long ago, the 1920s, I hopped on subway. Yeah, so that was nice. Also, you know, driving through Staten Island, I drove to your house.
Yep.
And then you drove us to Staten Island.
Mm-hmm.
I saw like NYPD in Staten Island, and it still doesn't register to me. Staten Island feels like its own thing.
Right, that it's not part of New York.
Yeah.
I know.
That like, yeah, that they should have a different police force, not
feels
NYPD.
Feels more like Jersey than it does New York.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, a little strange.
It's different.
Strange, Jerry.
It's
that's
kind of
Staten
on its own
Island
over there.
But yeah, people were like, you idiots, why didn't you take the Sea Streak? The Sea Streak is expensive.
I've never taken it. I don't even know. Is it expensive?
It's expensive.
I have no idea. Okay.
It's nowhere near where we were going in Manhattan.
Right.
By the way, the Sea Streak, I think, is like $30.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's like, that's a little much.
It's
not that much more luxurious than the Staten Island Ferry.
And before people criticize why we didn't use this, use that.
Yeah.
The only reason I ever did this last year was because 2 years ago, when I left the event and I looked to my left and I saw literally within 100 steps was the ferry, like, why would I not do this? I'm not looking to get out off a ferry and take a cab.
Right.
Like, that was the beauty of it, that I didn't have to drive into Manhattan and fight traffic and parking and all that crap.
Yeah.
Or valet or any of that nonsense.
It was absolutely the right thing to do, Jerry.
It was awesome.
You nailed it. They serve. This is the other thing, the difference between New Jersey and New York transportation. Yeah. In New York, you could just buy drinks. Like, oh, you're at the Staten Island Ferry, you want a beer?
As I did.
Right there. It's like if you go on the Long Island Railroad, you could just buy a beer.
Mm.
You can't do that for New Jersey Transit.
If you buy a beer at Penn Station, you can take it on the train. They're not going to say anything.
Yeah, but they like are like on the Long Island Railroad, they're selling beers on the landing in between.
Oh,
really?
I haven't been on LIRR. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have like beer stands.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
Well, I like my beer stand the other night.
Yeah.
Had a nice 24-ounce Modelo.
You got a gigantic beer.
That was a good start to my night.
Oh, yeah, Jerry. You were relaxing.
Yeah, it was good.
So we had a good time there.
Yeah.
We were talking about Hooters today on the show. And it reminded me, when I was living in Florida, I knew the man who invented Hooters. He was a local Clearwater, Florida. Mm-hmm. That's where the very first Hooters was, in Clearwater. And there used to be a radio show down there called Hooters on the Radio. It was two Hooters women, former Hooters.
Right.
With a Fez Watley of the old Ron and Fez show.
You're kidding.
He hosted. It was great. It was a midday show.
Right.
It was terrific. A very funny show. Hooters on the Radio, it was called. But because I knew that guy down there and I worked on the radio, he would give me a Hooters VIP card.
The lap dances in the back with your chicken wings?
No lap dances. But the Hooters card, it looked like a credit card, although it wasn't swipeable. Mm. And it had my name on it like a credit card would, you know, in that indented writing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would say, this person, chop this person's bill in half.
Wow.
So you would give it to the waitress at the end of the night. It included alcohol, everything.
Damn.
That's in
pretty,
half.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. Until you tried to use it at Hooters that were not in Florida. Because they didn't know what it was. I remember one time we were going to, we went to a Ravens game. Me, my brother-in-law, two of my friends.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Yeah.
You went to a Baltimore Ravens game?
Yeah, when I first moved back. I went to a Bucks, we went to a Bucks Ravens game.
Wow.
Yeah. We were like, let's go do a road trip. Could you imagine me telling you
this
now?
This is when Al was exciting and actually like doing things.
Yeah.
And I was like, I couldn't imagine you telling me that now.
I was like, we're going to go. There was a Hooters at the Inner Harbor. I said, we're going to go to Hooters. 50% off card. We're going to have a great time. Jerry, we were eating. We were drinking. More wings. More da. I hand them my Hooters VIP card. They're like, what is this? Like, oh, 50% off.
Like something you made in your garage.
The manager came out and goes, I'm not honoring this. He goes, I don't even know what this is. I go. I know the Hooters guy. He goes, yeah, these are all independently owned and operated. Yeah.
Right. Why am I taking a $90 off your bill?
Yeah, so we paid full price.
No fight.
That was the end of that fun that I was having. My Hooters card was no good.
That's the worst part about using like coupons or gift certificates. Especially if it didn't come from the place itself. You don't know. And it's so embarrassing. Then.
Right. Oh, very embarrassing.
In a case like that, you've got to feel like this big.
Well, when the girl first saw it, I was like, oh, she's new. What does she know, these VIP cards? And then the manager came out, and he was like, I ain't honoring this, you loser.
Now pay and get out of my store.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, loser, that you're in Hooters so much that you get a half-off card.
That's fair.
Man.
That's funny.
Man, oh, man. I watched, you know, you've talked to me about this Axis TV, I think. Was it Axis TV or what's the, that's the music channel?
Yeah.
So I happened to catch on YouTube, you know, Dan Rather was doing a show on there.
Yeah, an interview show.
Yeah, and on the YouTube, there's a whole bunch of clips of Dan Rather talking to musicians about their big hits.
Yeah, it's very good.
Oh, my gosh, it's so great.
It looks like he stopped doing them right before the pandemic, if you look at the dates of the shows.
Yeah.
I don't think he's done one since the pandemic.
So I was looking at him yesterday because they're only like, some of them are 3 minutes, some are 5 minutes. All sorts of things. So he's got Bryan Adams about the song Summer of 69.
Yes.
You see this?
I have seen this.
So he says the song was supposed to be called the Best Days of My Life because that's the chorus. Those are. But Bryan Adams says that he says 69 to use it as the sex joke.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was part of him saying Summer of 69.
Going to be catchy.
He thought, I want to use the sexual innuendo
yep.
I thought that was so crazy.
Mm-hmm. Because we all wondered, is there anything to it? And then he tells you, yes, there was.
Yeah.
Yep, I know.
He said summer of 69 was because of the sexual position.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Rather being...
I know.
You think is a stuffy Dan Rather.
America's like, newsman.
Is that right? 69. What is this now? The 69. Then he had like Carly Simon on.
That I haven't seen.
Talking about the song You're So Vain. Yeah, it was. It's really good.
He had Huey Lewis on too. Very good.
Yeah, I was blasting through all of them.
Yeah.
And then I'm like looking for new ones.
And those are, if you watch the episodes, they're an hour.
Really?
Now, there's commercials, obviously, so it's probably more like 42 minutes. But they're great, and they're done, at least in my opinion, the ones I've seen, they're done in a way that leaves you wanting like more. Like, you want to see another episode. Like, I didn't feel like he got to everything in the hour. They're good. I mean, and, you know, unfortunately, like I said, there are no new ones. I don't even know if he's working anymore, Dan.
Yeah.
He's got to be like 80-something, no?
I just love these... learning about songs that you've listened to your whole life and then learning something new.
Yep.
Like yesterday I learned Summer of 69, a song I've listened to so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And then hearing that other part.
Now, next time you hear Summer of 69, will you think of yourself doing a 69?
No, I'm not a fan of 69. That's a weird...
Steve Summers is.
That's a weird angle, the 69. I don't want to see anything even near the butt. You know what I mean, Jerry?
I do.
I don't want to see that.
I understand.
Disgusting. I don't think people are really 69ing. I think that's a thing.
Oh, I do. I disagree with that.
I think that's something that's for newer couples. I don't think someone who's
probably
been married 10 years is 69ing their wife.
Time out. Well, they better not be.
What do you mean?
Oh, they said someone else.
No.
Oh. Well, if you remember, Eddie looked it up, and they were doing this back in the 100 years ago.
Yeah, that is weird, like, to see some of these sexual positions from, like,
before
Egyptian
hygiene
times.
Was great.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Must have been a lot of vomiting back then.
Well, you got to think back then. Vaginas were smelly. Ball sacks were smelly. Breath was smelly. B.O. was smelly. I bet you your nose was just like
numb.
So numb, yeah, to all these disgusting smells. Dead carcasses all over, you know, dead animal carcasses.
That you would pick up to cook.
Yeah, and they'd be in decomposing bodies. Your neighbors would pass away and you didn't know what to do with their bodies. Would just be decomposing back in the caveman days.
Disgusting humans have been.
Oh, man.
Like, we're living in a good time.
Oh, yeah, we've cleaned it up.
My God, does that sound terrible.
We have really cleaned it up.
Ugh. And then you look at, like, Little House on the Prairie, which is, like, you know, based in the, like, late 1800s.
Yeah.
And they had all these kids. I guess you had nothing else to do.
No.
Just bang away.
And they weren't, religiously, they weren't using birth control.
That's true,
so
too.
So then they would just be like, if God wants us to have a baby, we are having a baby.
You said cavemen. Did you see the news story in Time Magazine, I think it was, or Time.com? Maybe not the magazine itself, but on their website. That they have, and this is fascinating to me, two things I saw over the weekend that blew me away. One, I think in Egypt, they unearthed it would have been a dwelling with paintings from thousands of years ago that because of the way it got covered from however there were new layers of earth, I don't know, that are like intact. Which is just...
On walls or an actual,
yes,
like...
still attached to the I guess, mud-based walls. I don't even know what they'd be on. But they found those that are thousands of years old. That is just sick to me that they found that. And then there was one this weekend I read that says the idea of the caveman, they were a little bit more advanced than we think and much more closer to us because they found and unearthed wherever this was. What is similar to the way we build rooms and houses so that it wasn't like people, they just lived in a cave. Like there were different rooms,
they
to
dividers,
the cave.
Walls,
yes, to where you could tell from the artifacts they found, like this is where they ate. This is where they laid down. And it was very much the way we live. Crudely.
Right.
But they still had the differentiating walls and like almost a home. like the way we build our homes. Very interesting.
The caveman was like, here's our TV room.
Yes, basically. And I love when they say this, like, probably 10,000 years ago.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, based on 10, what?
10,000 years ago. Like, it's just, it's yeah, nuts.
That is nuts.
Pretty wild.
I love caveman stuff.
If I find it again, I'll tweet out the article because it was a very interesting read. Very interesting read.
I watched I get very angry with recycling.
Yes, I've
heard
that. You know
that we have all these things and we don't really recycle. Mm-hmm. And even though we think we're doing good in recycling, we're not really recycling because the stuff doesn't get recycled.
Yeah. It's all a show, apparently.
Yeah, it's all a show. So I'm seeing another. I was watching this documentary on, it was on Max, and it was about a clothing store that sells what they call fast fashion.
Mm-hmm.
This is like they sell cheaper clothing, made kind of cheap, but knowing that it's for a younger audience, just for teenage girls. And they would, wear the clothing, toss it, buy new stuff, toss it, all this stuff. But it was talking about this phrase they call fast fashion, which is cheap clothing that then gets discarded. And this idea that when we take this clothing that we have and we put it in the bins for the poor,
yeah,
that it doesn't, we're doing the same thing to their clothing, what we're doing with recycling. We're taking these things of clothing and shipping them to another country and just littering their places where they live with all of our old clothing.
So they're not going to the poor and to people that need it?
A lot of it is not going to the, because there's so much of it.
Oh.
Yeah. They
then why are they, all kidding aside, then why do we see videos and news stories on people that are walking around with no shoes, no shirts?
I don't know. It's a great question because there was the name of the documentary was called Brandy Hellville. It's because it was based on this store called Brandy Melville.
Uh-huh.
So for whatever reason, they named it Brandy Hellville. And part of it's about the way the store was run, but the larger story about it is what we do with all this clothing that we have and
yeah,
dispose of. There was a coastline in Ghana that it'd be like the entire line of Jersey Shore beaches covered in 2 feet of fabric of old shirts. And
wow.
It was very disturbing to see.
What the hell are we doing then?
I don't know.
And like, you get tax breaks for donating clothes and
yeah,
stuff like that because they're encouraging you to not throw it away, to donate it. And you're telling me it's not going anywhere.
Some of it is. Like, I guess it depends. I don't know if they get so much of it that it's like we send them to these other countries that they'll pay us to get rid of our clothing, mm-hmm, and then they just dump it on their people.
Wow.
It was really weird. Then this other part of Ghana where they had all this clothing, there was these huge open markets that looked like a giant flea market that was just all our used clothing.
That they're selling.
Well, what they're doing is they'll take some of the shirts and stuff. Like, let's say it's a plain shirt.
Yeah.
Then you got these guys that have screen printing. So they're screen printing famous logos, like a Nike logo on a random T-shirt, and then they'll sell it as like a Nike,
like a branded shirt.
Yeah.
Wow.
We have so much. I just don't know where all of the trash is going that we have.
Yes, I know.
Right?
It's a good question for a garbage guy.
Yeah.
For a guy in waste management type of field, because at some point, you can't burn it all. You can't bury it. And apparently we're not recycling enough of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm still trying to figure out what we do with all the dead bodies.
Correct.
You know, we're going to run out of room at some point, no?
I would think so.
You know, I don't know.
And people always say, when I've brought that up, and people be like, you ever take a flight across the country, you see how much empty land there is? But if my grandmother dies here, she's being buried here. Mm-hmm. She's not getting buried in Indiana in some farmland.
You wouldn't think so.
So all of us in this area, when we die, we all get buried here.
I guess that's why being cremated is an option.
Cremated.
Mausoleums have become an option. So, yeah.
It's very weird. There was another thing, too. You know how, like, when you try to, like, buy stuff from America, like clothing?
Yeah.
Very difficult to find.
Yeah. To buy American-made?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You'll see a lot of stuff would be, like, China, mm-hmm, Vietnam.
Yeah.
So if you saw something with a label made in Italy,
mm-hmm.
there's this idea that, oh, this is a fine piece of clothing
made
in Italy. So another thing this documentary is talking about was that a lot of people from China moved to Italy, and they took with them these sort of the factories like they're run in China. So they're making clothing the same way they make clothing in China, but doing it in Italy and slapping the Made in Italy sticker.
But they are making it in Italy.
Right. But they're doing it the same way through sweatshops.
And still not paying people anything.
Correct.
So it's interesting you say that, because when I think of like places like Italy and France and Sweden, I don't think they have immigrants.
Right.
I just assume it's all Italians there and all
Correct,
Swedish
right.
people and all French people. I always think of America like that.
Right.
And then to sit there and say that the Chinese are moving into Italy to open up warehouses, and it's interesting. And you would think wouldn't the government get involved somehow with that?
I would think so.
I mean, if they're doing a documentary that's making it known what they're doing, don't you have to go in and say, you can do this, but you got to pay these people?
Well, someone else in this documentary was claiming that no matter where your clothing says it comes from, including the United States of America,
mm-hmm.
it is being made by people in sweatshops. In some way or another, they're still being...
Yeah,
they're still in factories that are run like sweatshops, even in America.
Wow.
What am I supposed to wear, Jerry?
Leaves to cover your balls and your penis.
So show up here tomorrow in a leave outfit. What you're saying.
It's a tough thing to answer. I'm not in the fashion industry.
Yeah.
I know my dad was for, 40 years whatever it was. You can't compete. Like, you can't sell a T-shirt for $93. There's nobody in their right mind that's going to buy just a regular T-shirt for $90 when you can buy the same or a better quality shirt for $30 or $25. I mean, that's the problem you run into. So I think, like, the idea, you would have to have a president, a regime come in and incentivize you to, and I don't know, you can't even do this, but... to where open up a clothing factory in Iowa, and for every shirt you sell, we'll kick you back 60% so that you can have competitive rates. Otherwise, no one's going to buy your product.
Yeah. Yeah, it is weird. So I did some Googling yesterday, and I was looking for American-made shirts. You know, a T-shirt was $85.
$85. How could it not be? With, we pay people, I don't even want to say livable wages, because minimum wage is not livable, really. It's maybe for a single kid who's 18, but it ain't livable for a guy with a family. So if you're going to pay real wages, I don't know how you get that number down.
Yeah, that was the one thing, we've talked about this before in watching Shark Tank.
Yeah.
We both enjoy watching Shark
Tank.
Yeah,
I do.
And, these entrepreneurs would come in with a great idea, and one of the things they always wanted to do, and we're going to make this in America.
Yeah.
We make this in America. And then one of the sharks, Mark Cuban or whatever, would say, what's it cost you to make one of those? And they'll be like, cost me $2.95. They go, okay, we got to get that down to 33 cents.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, now it's being made in China.
Correct. Yeah. How about, so Lucky, you love Lucky Jeans.
Lucky Jeans, yeah.
I just Googled this, because if you would ask me American-made apparel, that's the first thing that pops into my head is Lucky. So this says, prior to 2010, most Lucky products were manufactured in the USA. They are currently made, that's 14 years ago now, they are currently made in Indonesia, China, Peru,
yep.
Chile, Vietnam, Mexico, Sri Lanka, and Haiti.
And here's the thing. I have Lucky brand T-shirts from back then.
Yeah.
Still, the newer stuff that I had bought is all gone already.
Because it's cheap.
Crap.
Yes, it's cheap.
Crap, crap, crap.
I know. Isn't that something?
Man.
Wow.
I don't know what the answer is, Jerry, but you and I don't have it.
I gave you the answer, and I don't think it's feasible. Now, all right, now this is Lucky brand. Now, as of 2022, it says Lucky brand to relaunch Made in the USA.
But do we trust it?
I don't.
I don't either.
I don't know.
I don't trust anything, Jerry. I don't trust anything about anything.
I know.
The end.
It's hard to, unless it's you doing it.
Yeah.
You don't know what to believe and what not to believe.
Yeah. I don't believe anything.
Me neither.
I'm sick of everything. I can't believe anything.
Like, I will tell you, the, not to plug our stuff, but when I do, you know, when I create things on Printify, like, I make sure every company that I use is in America. But that doesn't mean the clothes are being made in America.
Right.
It means the company is here. They print in America. Like, their printing factories are in America. But I'm sure they're buying the, I would think they're buying the clothes from overseas.
Yeah.
So, like a T-shirt company that I use. I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head. Custom Ink, I think, is one that I will use sometimes on Printify. I think that's one. If not, I'm confusing it. But point is, I will only use American companies that are in America, and mostly, too, because the shipping is just much cheaper, obviously. My guess would be you have a printing company, but you're buying all the apparel in bulk from overseas. I would think. I don't even know,
I would
to be
think
quite
so.
Honest. It's got to be, though. Otherwise, how are we doing, you know, Al and Jerry shirts for $28? We couldn't.
Yeah, but even that sounds crazy. Like, to say, to do it right, the right way in America, we'll make it a $90 T-shirt. That sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Like, why is it $90?
Because of the labor. Because there, if they're getting paid $1 an hour, as opposed to here, minimum wage is $20 an hour. So theoretically, everything's going to be, I'm not saying 20 times what it, but it's going to cost you 4 or 5 times in terms of what you're selling it for. It has to.
Man, and I saw videos of, like, people working in the factories. Oh, yeah. What a miserable existence.
Well, and here's the other thing about
that.
Like, yes, insurance. In America, if you have a full-time employee, you've got to offer them full-time benefits. You know what that costs. Like, you are with work. Think of how much you have to spend for benefits. I can tell you right now, the company is spending more than that on your benefits. So $20 an hour minimum plus benefits as opposed to $1 an hour. I ain't saying it's right. It's awful, but that's the way of the world right now.
Yeah.
It has been for years, and I don't know how it changes.
I need to become a minimalist with my clothing, Jerry. Get rid of all my clothing and just pick a few pieces of American-made $90 T-shirts, Jerry.
That's it, huh? Just wear the same thing every other day.
Yeah, I just got to just keep washing it. Wash, wash, wash.
Okay.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show.
Right.
Tomorrow, you're back in your update spot.
I am.
Boomer will be back from his colonoscopy, and Gio will be here, and then we'll see you at 5 a.m. So.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Mike Piazza has now hit more home runs than any catcher in the history of Major League Baseball.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning, campers.
Al and Jerry. Don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
Oh, hi there. Good morning, everybody. If I'm talking first, that means Jerry's not here. But Jerry is in the newsroom. He's filling in for Boomer. Boomer is not here. Gio is here. Eddie is here. CeeLo is here. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Al.
How good morning, the heck everybody. Are you? Oh, I'm doing pretty good over here. Pretty good. I have a lot of items. I have a 2-page show sheet today.
Action-packed.
Action-packed, which is, you know, normally that happens on the weekends. There's a lot going on. And it's funny, though. Like, you know, I kind of build the show sheet as the weekend goes. And the Saturday morning, I'll see what happened Friday. Sunday morning, I'll see. And then a lot of times by Monday, I'm like, eh, don't really care. Like, I may have a lot of things, but then there's only a handful of things that survive the weekend.
Things you're actually interested in talking
about.
Yeah,
like things that survive the weekend. And it's like something could be news Saturday morning when I wake up. And by Monday morning, I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Right.
Like, I've kind of digested it already.
Can't even say, hey, we did that already the other day. It just kind of got...
It just get lost.
Onto the cutting room floor.
Which is why, like, when you have bad news, you deliver that bad news on Friday because the shows, I guess, don't start till Monday. I guess we don't count any of the weekend shows, right? I guess poor Richard Neer is out there pumping away, and we're like, meh.
Well, it works for him. May not matter for you, but I'm sure he still cares.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. So... Here's the thing, Sue, though. This Mets situation, and I kind of figured this would happen, with they retired Doc Gooden's number 16 yesterday.
Sure.
There were 32,000 in attendance, a paid attendance. It's a place that holds 42,000, so that's 10,000 fewer. And there's probably a lot more people that weren't there that are part of paid attendance. And a lot of people are going to want to come and yell at Mets fans for not showing up to support Doc. It was a... beautiful day. I mean, you couldn't ask for a nicer day.
Yeah.
But really, there are so many things preventing people from going to games. I really can't be mad at the Mets fans.
No, and I think that, I mean, like you said, it was a beautiful day. It is the weekend. But I think early in the season, you tend to see that a little bit more. Now, the weather in this particular case didn't turn out to be a factor, but as far as like ahead of time, people wanting to grab tickets for you, like, eh. April, it's New York, might be a little chilly.
Yeah.
You know, so from that standpoint, yeah, of course, you would have liked to see a few more fannies in the seats, as they say. But they decided to do this in April, and that's the way it goes.
Yeah, so I saw people criticizing the Mets for doing it in April, mm-hmm. not waiting till better weather, even though we got great weather.
Yeah.
Saw people criticizing Mets fans. But my whole thing is, why do we continue to build MLB stadiums that hold so many people when... people, not that many people go to the games. I could only imagine it's for when you make, if you make the World Series and you're going to sell those seats. But other than that, like, I don't know why we continue to build stadiums that hold, baseball stadiums that hold 42,000 people.
Yeah, well,
for what
I mean,
reason?
This stadium obviously was built over, coming up, what, 15 years now, I think? Maybe even a little bit more?
And we think about that, too. Like, I'll think about that, too. Like, no one goes to the game. By the way, I see highlights of Don Mattingly hitting home runs in the upper deck where no one's
empty.
In there.
Right.
So this has been going on for decades.
Yes.
I don't know why we continue to build large stadiums.
What should be the number for currently built baseball stadiums?
24,000.
24,000. So more like the hockey, basketball arena.
Yes.
Okay.
18 to 24,000. Really make it intimate.
That would be very intimate.
Yeah.
That is true.
But make it seem like there's people there. That would be interesting, too. I like to turn on a game and see people at the game.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it seem like, oh, here's an event happening.
It is a different concept here. And I feel like this is a more recent thing. Like, I get what you're saying. At some point in the past, you see highlights of the upper deck at Yankee Stadium being empty. I'm sure the same was true with Shea. But we've gone through this period where, like, baseball rose to the top and was king, especially here in New York. And for the most part, the ballparks for a while were... pretty packed. And wasn't, I want to say baseball attendance was up last year as compared to the prior year, if I'm not mistaken. But
I don't know.
That's a little fugazi because you're coming out of COVID.
Yeah, I don't believe any numbers for anything anymore.
Well, fair enough. Math is math or whatever. Doesn't matter.
Because no one's ever really transparent.
Right.
Like, even that you're telling me there were 32,000 paid fans.
Right.
Tell me how many people walk through the door.
Yeah, and you know
they've
got those little clickers at the turnstiles. They can. They don't want to, though.
Right. No one wants to tell you. How many podcast listeners do you have? I don't know. We're number one. Tell us the number.
You get that a lot of times, I feel, when people love to talk about TV ratings.
Yeah.
Like the next day or the day. And they'll give you, well, it was up X amount of percent. For, like, you can package that in so many different ways.
Correct.
And that's, you know, that's marketing, PR. We understand that.
Nonsense.
Well, we understand it. Not everybody does, but that's
fine. Recently got an email from, I won't say the company name, touting their number of podcast listeners they had. And I wrote back. I go, may I ask where you got this number from? No answer.
Of course not.
No answer. I was curious. Where'd the number come from?
Yeah.
Where do the numbers come from?
Now, you sent this email, but was it an actual individual or was it just
individual.
Like a generic email address?
It was a press release.
Okay.
that was signed by somebody mm-hmm. with their email. Any questions? I had a question. Where do the stats come from? No answer.
Right.
Because they're insane numbers. I'm sorry. It's like when they go, the so-and-so network is available in 99 million homes. Okay. How many people are watching it? I know it's in 90. Like,
or those 99 million homes, what? How is that compared to other networks or channels or whatever?
Like, there's probably 300 million iPhones in the United States. The Alan Jerry podcast available on 300 million iPhones.
Right.
Okay. How many have it on?
Yeah. And that's your own podcast you're talking about.
That's my own podcast.
Right. And you've had multiple.
I've had multiple podcasts that reached no listeners. So I'm aware of how this works.
Not no listeners, Al. Some listeners.
Tiny amount of listeners.
We just don't know how many, but
fine. Tiny amount. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. I'm happy Dwight Gooden's back. I love anything 86 Mets, 1980s Mets. I'm all in.
Mm-hmm.
I, of course, didn't go to the
game. I was going to say, yeah, why was your fanny not in the seat then?
Well, mine is because getting to and from the game is an absolute disaster,
I agree.
I'm never going.
Yeah, you and I, Jersey folks,
yeah.
It's very difficult to get to these baseball stadiums.
I know people always say money, of course, but, you know, sometimes if I have a press pass, the hassle to get there and out, I can't do it.
Especially for you, because you don't like to be inconvenienced at all.
Not at all. I don't like to be inconvenienced at all.
Especially on a Sunday. I mean, it's a day game, but still, you know, that clock is ticking for you as far as your Sunday evening routine, getting ready for the work week.
Yeah, if I would ever go to an actual baseball game, it would have to be a Saturday 1 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's even perfect.
Saturday night, no shot.
Yeah, no, because
even with the pitch clock and the shorter games,
no, because I'd still have to leave. I'd leave my house super early, and just sit in the parking lot and sleep in my car until the game
starts. Wipe out your whole Saturday.
Whole Saturday gone.
I mean, when we really break it down, for you, even on a weekend,
mm-hmm.
when you've got 2 full days off,
because you don't really have 2 full days off, because Sunday is like I'm home by noon during the week.
Yeah.
So Sunday at noon is regular weekday now. Now I got to prepare my dinners out at 4 o'clock.
Okay, but you're also discounting
uh-huh.
Friday when you get home. Your weekend begins Friday. At
noon. Oh, yeah, it does.
So that counts.
Definitely. You're right. Correct.
Yeah.
My weekend does begin Friday.
But even so, if we actually take into account all of your,
idiosyncrasies.
Sure. Oh, look at us. Same page there. Very good. It's a real small window of time where you're actually available to do anything.
Correct.
On the weekend.
Sounds like a conversation I have with Jean every weekend.
Yeah, right. And her weekend, I'm sure, does not begin on Friday at noon.
No.
So that even bites into it a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a small world, and it's getting smaller.
No question.
It is shrinking even as small of a world as I've given myself. I'm shrinking it in even more.
Mm-hmm.
It's really shrinking in.
Right. We're going to get to the point where, you know, you wake up and you're ready to go to bed.
I'll get up, eat, and go right back to sleep.
That's enough for today. We'll start again tomorrow.
We did plenty here today. But the Mets won another series, so that's a good thing.
Three in a row.
Three series in a row.
How about that?
Right?
After
Royals,
that horrendous
Braves,
start.
Who was the first
Tigers.
One? Tigers. Good point.
Right?
After a horrendous start, yeah.
Do I have that right? I might have that wrong.
I think you got it right.
All right.
I think it beat the Tigers. I think I'm with you on that one. I did see Keith Hernandez yesterday in trying to reference a former teammate.
No, see, I had it wrong.
Howard Johnson.
I had it wrong, Al.
Who'd they beat?
They beat the Reds, the Braves, and the Royals. There you go.
We lost to the Tigers?
Yeah. They had the back-to-back postponements. They won the finale of that series, which was their first win of the year. And that's that was the launching point for this stretch now where they've won 3 straight series. Reds, Braves, and the Royals.
We had all that rain with the Tigers.
That's right.
So Keith Hernandez was trying to reference Howard Johnson, who we all know as Hojo, and he accidentally called him Haji, who was his cat, of course.
You can understand where that's, you know,
that's,
front of mind on the tip of the tongue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Haji's being thought about all the time. Poor Hojo sitting at home. I saw Daryl Strawberry showed up for the Doc Gooden thing.
Both looking great.
Those guys have a weird relationship.
Listen, a lot of us in life have known each other a long time, have weird relationships. So there's maybe.
But there has to be
a little more public than others.
For those guys, it was drugs is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like something's got to be in the mix for you to have a weird relationship with somebody.
Right.
Like for them, had they not both been into drugs, probably would not have a weird relationship.
I suppose.
Right.
I mean, other factors can come into play. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, that's that one's certainly center stage.
Yeah. I feel like it's mostly drugs.
Mostly drugs. Okay.
Drugs will ruin everything. Fortunately, sure. Everyone's smoking weed 24/7 now. You cannot go anywhere without weed being everywhere.
I would agree. I have noticed that, Al.
My Lord.
100%.
Are people just weeding? Are they just like have to be on a, like not sitting with their actual lives? They need to be weeded out 24/7?
I don't know about 24/7.
Yeah, I think so.
But much more often now that it's more accepted to kind of be out and about.
It's just weird. Like, you would never, at like most people, would never at like 2 in the afternoon go, have a couple beers. They just, or a vodka tonic. They don't, like, do you think of that like, oh, Friday night I'll go have a vodka tonic.
Yeah.
The weed people will just be like, oh, it's 11 a.m. Maybe,
yeah, sure.
Maybe I'll smoke some weed before my Zoom meeting because I don't go to work anymore because I'm on weed all day long.
Oh, I love you said that. On weed.
Yeah, they're just on weed.
These damn kids are on the weed.
I can't walk anywhere.
Yeah.
In any town, USA.
Any town?
Yes.
Not just here in New York City?
Oh, no. Bradley Beach?
Yeah.
Forget
well,
it.
You're
you
near
go
the
near
ocean.
The ocean?
Sure. Yeah.
Right, but this is what I mean. This is what the weed people do. Oh, I'm near the ocean. Weed.
The
oh,
weed
I'm in
people.
The I'm in the city. Weed. Weed, weed, weed.
The weed people. I love that.
People that don't have two nickels to rub together will get that, take whatever money they have and use it for weed.
I mean, I feel like now that it's readily available and legal, it's not super expensive. I mean, let me say this, okay? I am ignorant when it comes to that world, so I could be speaking out of turn here. And I know there are different levels of it, forms, strains, whatever. But I feel like just generic availability, like it's, let's put it this way, the supply is a lot better than it once was. How's that?
But
or
the
one
weed,
more available.
I will tell you this, though. The weed people will tell you that they still get weed from their dealers.
Because they need the good stuff?
Well, legal weed is expensive.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I'm told.
Okay, so there you
by
go.
The weed
speaking
people.
Out of turn, I wouldn't know.
The weed people.
See okay. Now, and we're talking about like traditional
again, I guess
smoking the, weed rather than all that
yeah,
other forms of it.
Of weed.
Okay, got it.
Right, because God forbid you chew a gummy so that I don't have to smell your weed
right.
all day long.
And I feel like the gummies are not super expensive, no?
I don't know.
All right.
That I really don't know about weed.
Boy.
I actually wanted to try marijuana when it became legalized, but the weed people are so annoying, I can't. I don't even want to be involved now with them.
Like, I mean, you could try it without getting involved with the weed people.
I don't want to fall. Now I'm just like, I don't want to fall into. I don't want to be like one of the weed people, which is everyone 24/7.
I mean,
weed,
that might
weed might
chill you out a little bit on the weekend.
Maybe that's true.
Might make you more open minded to take a trip
a
to Citi Field on a Sunday afternoon.
No, that's a great point. The thing I don't understand with weed is that I know you said it's like acceptable, but this idea now that
this idea
you
that.
Can do anything on weed, like if you can't do anything with alcohol, oh, you want to have alcohol? You better put it in a paper bag if you're waiting for the train.
Mm-hmm.
The weed, you just openly smoke weed wherever you are. And the cops are not allowed to do anything about it. So the cops could see somebody driving by with a big weed out the window, dry steering. Ooh, I've got weed.
I'm pretty sure that's not true, Al.
And nothing could be
you
done.
You couldn't even get through that one. Couldn't keep a straight couldn't keep a straight face on that one. The tree you had me with the train, but the driving the car out the window.
No, you could drive down Ocean Avenue in any Jersey Shore town blasting Gin and Juice by Snoop Dogg with a big blunt. And the cops aren't allowed to do anything about it because, God forbid, your rights get for some. You're like, oh, I'm sure my rights are being violated because I can't smoke weed while driving.
I'm pretty sure that they could if they wanted to.
Well, let's start busting balls.
This is not a direct. This is a little apples to oranges, but just to show how, I mean, the cops can kind of do what they please. All right. Make this a quick story. So the registration in my car expired in October, and they mailed me the renewal, and I completely forgot about it. I had no idea. I was driving around for months with expired registration, right? So I got pulled over randomly near my house, and they claim, oh, it was a random license plate check. Hey, your registration's here. Oh, I had no idea. Okay, fine. Make sure you get it taken care of. I was on my way here, so it was like the wee hours of the morning, right? Again, slipped out of my mind, come here, half asleep, so on and so forth. Later that day on the way home, stopped again.
Twice in one day?
Oh, how about three times in 2 days? But it's random. So let's be fair.
Love it.
Okay, they have the ability to do what they need to do, and I was in the wrong. I'm not saying I wasn't, and that's why they were nice enough to let me go, essentially with a warning, because I was, hey, I'm not trying to get away with anything here. I'm on my way home. I'm gonna get it done when I get home, and it was easy to do. You go online, takes 2 minutes, and you're done. But point being, like, once they get that, pun intended, whiff or the situation, it's easy for them to double back to it if they need to. How's that?
I know, but I guess what I'm seeing is it doesn't appear to be stopping people from driving and smoking weed.
Or just living and being out in everyday world, everyday public.
I don't care if you sit in your home and just smoke weed all day and be a loser. That's fine. Getting behind the wheel of a car, now you're affecting my life.
Impaired.
Yeah.
Yes. Impaired driving.
Oh, man. When I'm on weed, I'm a better driver.
Who's saying that?
Weed people.
Yeah?
The weed people think they do everything better on weed.
You talk to a lot of weed people?
Just talk to any humans. Everyone's a weed person. Everyone.
Everyone except those of us here in the building?
Believe me, there's plenty of people in this building
who smoke
weed.
Those of us that work on the show.
Yeah.
How's that?
Me, you, and Eddie. And Jerry, Gio Boomer. We're not weed people.
Right.
Everybody else out there?
Everyone else that works here? Weed people.
Weed. Although I would guess Brandon, not a weed guy.
No.
Sal, not a weed guy.
No, I don't think so.
Pete Hoffman, probably a weed guy.
I don't know, man. It's tricky when you work as much as he does. You got young kids, you know.
But that's why the weed people go, I work so much. I've got young kids. I must have weed to relax.
Yeah. When do you find the time, though?
Driving home?
I don't think Pete Hoffman's driving home. Getting stoned out of his mind. Very unfair that we're breaking down his name here, by the way.
Yeah, no.
We've singled him out as a potential example.
As a weed guy.
Al's just making blind accusations about employees here.
Weed people, man. Let's start pulling over. As soon as you smell weed, pull their ass over.
Yes.
The problem is there's no test for
you
weed.
You really missed your calling. You did.
Cop?
You should have been in law enforcement.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, baby. I would love to be a cop.
Unfortunately, it's too late for you.
No, it's not. I'll go be a cop right now.
I'm pretty sure you're beyond the age to begin.
I do see sometimes, like in the summer, the local towns, the police are looking to hire people to like ride on the police bikes. I could do that.
Oh, the police bike.
Yeah, it'd be me and a bunch of young whippersnappers.
Oh, you would clean those boardwalks up in a
hurry.
What
are we doing here? Do I smell weed? Get up. Like, you could do a breathalyzer alcohol. There's no... Even though I can smell weed, I can see weed. Like, you could actually see a blunt in a car and just be like, you got to put that away. Arrest them!
I love that we started with... I got like a 2-page show sheet here. It was a big weekend of sports. And we got Al's dissertation on the weed people here in the open.
Doc and Daryl.
That's where it started. Drugs. Right. It's all their fault.
All their fault. Always goes back to drugs. All right, CeeLo. Let's take a quick break. When we return, I've got a Yankee situation of a fella I saw on Twitter that I want to ask you about. Ooh. And it has to deal with Nestor Cortes.
Okay.
And I would like to discuss that with you after this break. Where the heck's my music? Yeah, yeah. Come
what
on.
Were you high over there, Al? Is that why you didn't hit the music
man.
On time?
Hey, man, I'm just having some weed right now.
Oh, boy.
Because I'm cool. Welcome back to the warm-up program. Jerry's in for Boomer today. So I've got CeeLo here today. Good morning, CeeLo.
Oh, good morning.
So there's so many people like I'll see on social media that I've never heard of, and yet they have like following of people.
That doesn't surprise me.
And then their bio doesn't tell you squat about them. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm like, I don't know how do you...
They're so big that they don't need a bio. Everyone else, and you might not know them. Other people do, though.
I feel like everyone needs a bio. So there's a guy named Dan Clark who's got 57,000 followers. So it's not a ton, but it's a decent amount.
Sure.
And his profile on Twitter is just MLB. Dan Clark Sports, MLB on X. I have no idea. Does he work for X? I have no idea. But he brought up a good point about Nestor Cortes.
Okay.
And I like to give credit where I see the thing I want to reference. You know what I'm saying? So also, I don't want Dan Clark to be at home going, man, I said this, and this punk on WFN, give me no credit. I'm Dan Clark.
He's got a link to a website here where he does some writing.
Yeah, it doesn't
say writer.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
Go right ahead.
So I see the Yankees take 2 of 3 from the Guardians. Nestor Cortes was on the mound yesterday. And Dan Clark posted a video of Nestor Cortes and wrote, "This so-called move by Nestor Cortes should be illegal. A very mediocre pitcher trying to find an unethical advantage. This type of stuff belongs in Savannah Bananas, not in the major leagues." This is a move that I guess is legal that Nestor Cortes does where he kicks his leg up,
yeah,
brings it back, fake throws.
That I had not seen before. The fake throw part was new.
Fake throw to the plate.
That was the new part.
And then pitches.
Yeah.
A punk move.
Yeah, I did.
That's not a good pitcher move. I'm with Dan Clark on this one.
I mean, listen, I'm all for he will vary his motion, his delivery. There'll be a delay, a hesitation, like those sort of things have been done before to try to throw off the rhythm or the timing of the batter. I had not seen the fake throw. Yeah,
look at CBS has it.
The leg kick thing, the fake throw. That was new. I had not seen him do that. Maybe he had at some point. I had not seen that.
I would yell balk. I would just go balk.
Yeah.
Balk. I don't even care if it's a technical balk or not. That's a balk.
Right.
Or I would charge them out and punch them right in the face.
I don't think they're going to do that. No.
I'd punch them right in the face. Not only that, it doesn't work, Nestor.
It doesn't?
No. The guy, he didn't throw the ball past the dude.
No, I get
that. On his stupid kick.
The fake throw part, I agree. I'd imagine that that's like one of those loophole things that.
Right.
Might get closed up in short order.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a new layer to some of Nestor's tricks.
I'm all for a cool move, like Louis Tiant,
yeah,
the pitcher. He used to do this weird spin move, but it was all part of his motion, and every pitch was that way.
Right, just consistency.
Yeah, Dan Quisenberry, Kent Acolvi, the Submariners, the pitch, the what do you call that pitch where they like just floated up in the air?
The floater, no?
Yeah, no, there was a name for
it. Oh, yeah.
Eufy's pitch, whatever. Yeah. This is a whole new level of Savannah Banana type behavior.
Yeah.
I'm with Dan Clark on this one.
Maybe that's what Nestor is destined for.
Well, then go to the Savannah Bananas because this is the Yankees. The Yankees won't let you have a beard, but they'll let you do tricks on the mound? Come on.
Well, the Yankees, you'll get this. If George were alive.
If George were alive, he'd have pulled Nestor Cortes right off the field.
He wouldn't stand for this nonsense.
I don't know how often he does this move, Nestor Cortes.
I don't think I've seen him do the fake throw. I've seen him do the
hesitation.
I don't know.
That one time in the game. Why?
Not sure.
The dude fouled off the pitch, so it's like, didn't work. Now what?
Maybe that's why he didn't bring it back. Didn't even throw it by him. Let's tuck that one away.
I mean, people were mad at A-Rod on the pop-up that went to Luis Castillo that A-Rod yelled, "I got it," or whatever the hell.
You're combining two different things.
That doesn't sound like me.
I think it was the Blue Jays when
A-Rod yelled ha.
Rounding third
on
base,
a pop
I believe.
Fly.
He hit the pop-up that Luis Castillo dropped in shallow right field.
Oh, okay. A-Rod hit that one. So I am confusing.
And they won the game.
I'm combining things.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. But there was another one where I believe he was running between second and third, rounding third. I think it was third base.
Like if Jerry's a big Little League coach sort of guy.
Yeah.
If one of Jerry's Little League kids pulled this Nestor Cortes move, Jerry would pull him right off the field and tell his parents, take this kid home and punish
him. No, I don't think he would do that. I think he would take the young man aside and have a conversation with him.
But Jerry would be like, what are we doing? This is...
Yeah, he'd probably say it in a more positive, supportive way.
This is like, just not right.
Yeah.
I just don't like it one little bit, Celia.
I don't like it either. I understand the take, the point of view.
By the way, how am I not seeing everybody complaining about this? Dan Clark,
I would venture to guess, just because that's the only one you saw that popped up on your feed, doesn't mean it was the only one that was being critical of it. Yeah, that is right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Probably, you know what everyone was doing? Smoking weed, watching it, going, oh, Nestor Cortes is so cool, man. I'm just having some weed, man. Let him fake pitch.
Maybe Nestor was smoking weed in between. I'm kidding, obviously.
I'm sure they'd allow it in baseball. Yeah, nothing we could do about it. It's weed. Everyone's getting weed now.
Oh, boy.
Nestor, have some weed.
It's become weed day, weed morning here on the warm-up show.
Nestor, kick up your fake leg, fake pitch, smoke a blunt, then deliver the ball. Okay, Nestor. So I want to see that outlawed. I want Rob Manfred today to come out and say that pitch is outlawed.
I don't know that you're going to get that today. Sorry, I'm distracted. I'm looking back
send
at
an email.
A-Rod Blue Jays. I got it.
I have Rob Manfred's email. I'm going to email him this morning. I'm going to say,
maybe
just a
he'll
heads up.
Answer you. The podcast people that you are, PR people, gave you the old cold shoulder, stiff arm. I'm sure Commissioner Manfred will get right back to you on that.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I say, hey, Rob.
What's going on here?
Is this Savannah Bananas playing?
We got to clean this up. You got to get this out of the game.
Yeah, what is this? By the way, how does that not violate the pitch clock? That took a few seconds, too.
He must have
fake leg,
must have got into
pitch.
It early on.
This is why Nestor Cortes should be happy he doesn't have to bat, because I'd have put one right in his back.
Well, no pitcher has to deal with that anymore, except Shohei Ohtani when he comes back to being a pitcher.
Of course, that pitch that I threw would have hit him at 37 miles an hour. Probably wouldn't have hurt that much.
Laughed on his way down to first base.
Might have laughed at me, but I would have sent a message.
Oh, yeah.
That's for damn sure.
I think they would have turned down your hit-by-pitch. Nah, I'm good. I'm going to stay right here. Throw the next one.
You can't turn down a hit-by-pitch.
I know.
You have to take the bat, the base.
Yes.
Let's take a quick break here, Steve. Okay. When we come back, I have a number of other baseball items I would like to get to.
Any weed items on there?
No, I
all
don't
right.
want to talk
we'll move
about
on from
weed.
That.
I don't want to give weed any more promotion.
Power.
I don't want to give it any more free publicity than it's already gotten. And then Gio with Jerry Recco will be here at 6. Come on now. Warm-up show. Welcome back. My name's Al. I've got CeeLo today. Jerry's filling in for the Booms. CBS taking a little heat on Twitter today. They ran a Billy Joel concert last night, and upon it hitting 11 o'clock, cut off the middle of Piano Man.
The encore.
The encore. And went to local news. Which is weird, because I don't think it was a live concert.
It was not. I mean, it was the old taped live.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they had to know how long it was running.
Right.
And then they cut off Piano Man, which, by the way, I'm fine with. I've had it with Piano Man.
Oh, come on.
I have. Like, if I went to go see Billy Joel, I would run to the bathroom during Piano Man.
Stop it.
I swear. I've had it with Piano Man. I love Billy Joel, but certain songs, like, it's enough. We didn't start
it's
the fire.
Enough already.
And Piano Man, gone. So I'm with CBS. I stand with CBS on this one, but
maybe,
people are angry.
Maybe you were the one that made the decision last night.
I mean, you know,
dump out of this. Got to get to the news.
We all know Piano Man. Get it out.
Come on. For the record, you hate numbers, weed, Nestor Cortes, and Piano Man.
Did you just check? Are you keeping notes in there? He just glanced down at a piece of paper, a cue card or something. Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. But, you know, you got to treat that. First of all, how does that not get timed out properly? I don't know. You know what I mean? Since it was recorded.
I believe, and again, I was a little late before a morning show to be tracking all this live. I did see some of the chatter on social media. I think at some point there was some sort of delay.
Yeah.
Maybe the end of the Masters bled over and they had to push back their Sunday evening programming. I'm not 100% sure, so please don't. I'm not trying to put out fake news.
Fake news said.
But if that was the case, and things did get bumped back a little bit, and this is not my idea, so I forget who. Somebody made the point. It makes a lot of sense. Like we say, it was not a live concert.
Makes a ton of sense.
Get him here. It was not a live concert. This was on tape. Can we remove a couple minutes somewhere else in the show?
Right.
So that's maybe the person's like, enough with Piano Man.
Right.
Everyone knows how the song goes.
Yeah, we
who
know
cares?
This one, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Microphone smells like a beer. Move on. Yeah.
But for people that love Billy Joel were locked in last night.
Not happy.
They, you know, went to bed feeling a little unfulfilled.
Yep. They feel like they missed their main song, Piano Man.
We got to get to the news. We got to find out, you know, who was murdered, who died, what negativity is there out there in the world. Let's get to those negative stories to lead the 11 o'clock news.
Who got kicked in the face on the subway.
Yeah, that something like that. Who was beheaded, you know,
who
got stabbed with a screwdriver, like, you know, things like that.
All these things were covered
very important.
On last night's local news.
Yeah.
Angels first baseman Nolan Chanuel.
I'm not even going to.
Something like that. Anyway, he fouled the ball off his balls, and he now has a testicular contusion. He was not wearing a cup, this guy.
When you said he now has, I was like, where is this headed next?
He now has a testicular contusion. which I guess just means you get hit in your testicles very hard that it hurts.
It's a contusion, usually a bruise of some sort.
Severe bruising of the scrotum.
Yeah. I watched it in slow motion because they didn't know what happened. At first, the broadcasters thought he fouled it off his foot. Then in slow motion, it looked like he fouled it off his thigh.
Ugh.
But then when you really watch it, you realize his testicles were in that area because he's not wearing a cup. We wear cups Little League.
He wasn't wearing a cup?
No.
Said that and I missed it?
Yeah.
Oh.
He fouled the ball off his testicles, not wearing a cup.
I've got my 7-going-on-8-year-old wearing a cup.
Yeah. I always would wear a cup. I feel so much more powerful. Just because you don't have to worry about getting hit there. You know what I mean? You can play with more.
I mean, I still doesn't feel good if you get hit there.
Right.
You know, you get the sort of the aftershock and the plastic or whatever that's made out of that's kind of vibrating that area. It doesn't feel great, but.
But you're still probably not going to get a testicular contusion.
Contusion, right.
Which sounds very painful. I don't know how many days if he was on the Mets, he'd be out for the season, I'm sure. But he is on the Angels.
Yeah, and it's a 22-year-old that's hitting 108 so far this year. So
what a rough year.
Mm.
Hitting 108, the one time you make contact, you foul it off of your own testicles.
I'll tell you what, I'd imagine he might be wearing a cup moving forward now.
Right. I know it's going to slow you down a tiny bit when you're running. That's what Boomer says. That's why the NFL players don't wear cups.
Is that really what was slowing Boomer down from running? The cup?
The cup. He was a speedster with that. Well, that's why he didn't wear a cup.
Right.
He needed the extra.
I don't know.
The extra action.
I'm not sure it was the cup that would have made the difference there.
All right. There's a Texas Rangers pitcher by the name of Brock Burke, who's not having a great season either.
What happened to his testicles?
His testicles are fine, but after his blowing of a save on Friday night, he punched a wall and fractured his hand.
We've seen this one before.
Yeah, this does happen.
Was it the throwing hand?
I believe it was the throwing hand, because you throw a punch with your dominant hand.
That's true.
Now, the coach said, listen, the manager, I respect that he's not happy with his performance. You can't punch a wall. Tom Petty punched a wall one time and shattered his guitar playing hand.
Is that right?
Yeah, he couldn't play for a long time.
Wow. And this was the Rangers, you said?
Texas Rangers, yeah.
Their manager, are you familiar with who he is?
Is it Ron Washington?
No.
I know he's still coaching somewhere.
Oh, he just returned to managing with the Angels. So he witnessed the testicular contusion.
I knew he was in the mix on the show
sheet. Al, what did the Rangers do last fall?
They won the World Series.
Okay, very good.
Bruce Bochy.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
That a boy.
Hoo-ah.
Just took a minute to get there.
I knew it was some old dude.
You're like, their manager.
The old dudes always win pennants. Right?
I guess.
Look it up.
Look it up. It's in the phone book.
Old dudes always win pennants.
I don't know about always, but.
Mm-hmm. What do we got now, though? Pirates-Mets today. I feel like this Adrian Hauser, and it may just be the eyeball test here. I feel like this guy starts every other game for the Mets. I know that can't possibly be true.
Yeah, not true.
But this guy's like pitching a lot.
I think he's only made 2 starts so far, Al.
No way.
I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure. Let me see. Ta-da. Yep, this will be his 3rd start. In fact, there are 3 other Mets that have already made 3 starts, so he's not even at the top of the list.
I think I figured out why I feel like he's made a lot of starts.
Why is that?
When I do the show sheet, I write up the starting pitchers.
Right.
He was starting pitcher for one of the games against Detroit that got moved to the next day.
Okay.
So then I put him on the show sheet the following day.
Mm.
That got rained out. Then he pitched again. So to me, he pitched 3 games in a row.
He's made multiple appearances.
3 straight.
On the show sheet.
Yes.
Got it.
So Mets, Pirates, Yankees, Blue Jays. Oh, man, the Blue Jays. I don't know if they're any good this year, but they're normally punks to the Yankees.
Yeah, they don't get along well.
They cause trouble.
Vlad Guerrero Jr. is not a fan.
Yeah.
Of the Yankees, their fan base, all of that. Yeah. So there's a little bad blood there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I would be if I was just picking a random team, I might be a Blue Jays fan.
Why is that?
It's because they have sons of former major league players. I like that.
Okay. Uh-huh.
That seemed kind of interesting to
me. Can you name them?
Vlad Guerrero.
We just named one. Okay.
You got, who's that long-haired guy?
Who's the long-haired guy?
I forget his name, but him.
Bo Bichette,
yeah.
Kevin Biggio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You nailed it, CeeLo. Those 3 guys.
There you go.
That kind of interests me in some ways, but they're from Canada, and we don't like Canada anymore. Canada used to be? Yeah, it used to be like, if things got really whack down here, I'm going right up to Canada. Now Canada's just as crazy as we are.
Where are you going now?
I don't know.
Mm.
I don't know. Because everywhere I think I'd go, I hear, like, I'd go, maybe I'll go to Italy. That seems like trouble, too.
Everywhere is trouble.
Everywhere is trouble, Sheila. You can't go anywhere without finding trouble.
Yeah, well, especially for you, in the way your mind works.
Yes.
And the things that you'd need to feel that there's not trouble lurking.
Correct.
Yeah.
And a rest in peace to former Yankee Fritz Peterson, Sheila.
Yes.
Died at the age of 82. He is famous for swapping wives with teammate Mike Kekich.
I'll swap my wife for yours.
I mean,
now one of those worked out, one of those didn't. The Fritz Peterson. Now, I read the story about this. We actually had Fritz Peterson in studio with Boomer and Carton many years ago. Yeah.
Okay. To talk about the wife swap.
To talk about the wife swapping, yeah.
Right.
Because he had a book out or something. And he, you know, they went out as a couple a lot of times, and then they just found themselves attracted to the other's wives. And they said, what if we switched it up?
Easy swap.
Yeah.
The old switcheroo.
The one couple got married, Fritz, who passed away. And then the other couple had kind of fizzled out.
Wow.
But Fritz and his second wife, it worked out.
See, this is what I meant earlier when you talked about, well, Doc and Daryl, complicated relationship. And I said a lot of people, you know, some more public than others. That's a great example. Now, maybe it worked out for a while, but you want to talk about complicated?
That seems very complicated.
Wow. It takes some big people to be able to go through something like that.
Yeah, I don't even know how. I think the way that it actually, how it started when they were hanging out as a couple, one of each of the couples had it for the night. They're like, you know what, I'm turning in. And the other one said, you know what, I'm turning in too. And you left the two.
Oh.
You left Fritz with the other guy's wife.
And the rest is history.
And then,
wow.
They had a great night. And they're like, what if we switch this up?
I wonder how that conversation went.
Yeah.
Initially.
I don't know. It's a good question.
Like, Sheila. Did the other two feel forced then to come together?
Probably. Yeah, you know, this wasn't all four people, like, definitely.
Sitting at the dinner table like, this is a great idea.
This is a great
idea.
Let's
go forward with this.
No pushback from anybody?
I talked to the roommate, and he's into it, too.
That's true, right. Very much so. All right, CeeLo, let's take a quick break. You've got a sports minute
over
there.
This is a unique one, a two-pronged on the percentage. So Eddie's giving you a 75% chance to get the topic.
Okay,
but 0% on who's doing the sports minute.
Okay, topic is the Masters.
Okay.
Doing the Sports Minute, JR Sports Brief.
No.
This is Jody Mack with an Odyssey Sports Minute.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
Oh, just another moment or so before Gio with Jerry Recco today as Boomer's out. CeeLo's here with me. Did you see they unveiled a statue of Allen Iverson? At the Sixers practice facility.
Oh, that's perfect.
But
yeah, I love that.
Somewhat embarrassing in that it's a statue of him doing his crossover move.
Okay.
But it's not a large statue.
Well, he wasn't a large man.
But I mean, it's like really not.
Is it at least like human size?
No.
Come on.
It is not. It's more like.
Like a trophy?
Like a bigger Heisman trophy.
Oh.
Barely. It's kind of embarrassing.
Well, maybe that's part of it. Like, he was down on practice. So if we're going to put this here at the practice facility, we'll make it a little on the smaller side. Talk about practice.
Yeah, it was just this.
Not a game.
Practice. That's why I do like that it's at the practice facility.
Yes, they leaned into that, which is great.
Yeah.
But, so maybe it's more of like a poking fun at it kind of situation.
I don't know. And he had a smile like it was, this was awesome. Thank you for this.
WFAN. WFAN-FM. WFAN-FM HD1. New York. Always live on the free Odyssey app.